Page number 180. Page number 180.
Sang that song, we can say that it truly is different, because the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Can everyone, I hope everyone in the house of the Lord tonight can say that from not just out of their lips, but from the depths of their hearts. We're thankful that you're here tonight. We want to welcome every visitor. If you're a visitor here tonight, we hope and pray that you feel welcomed by those that are sitting around you, and most importantly, we pray that the Spirit of God will make you feel welcome. So,
an announcement
that I want to remind you of. Tomorrow, Sister Vedas will have a memorial service here at 2 o'clock, and visitation will be here at the church from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. So be sure to be here if you have the opportunity to do so. So tomorrow from 10 to 2, and then at 2 p.m. will be the memorial service. And then also in Smithville on Saturday, if anyone wants to travel out there, they'll also have a memorial service there, and that will be at 11 a.m. in the morning. So be prayerful for that family. Pray that God's grace will be upon them, and His peace and His Spirit might work in their hearts, and especially for those that are lost. As was said last night, the Lord knows all about all situations, and He's able to get glory out of all things. And I know Sister Veda, one of her greatest desires would be someone to be saved during this time. And so I ask that you pray for Brother Binion as he helps in the memorial service tomorrow and also tonight as he leads us in worship and looking to the Word of God. Would anybody have a prayer request or a praise, anything on your heart before we go to the Lord tonight? Anything on anybody's heart or mind? Let's be prayerful. Reminded in the Word of God, many times it tells us to come. In Isaiah chapter 1 and 18 it says, "Come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white, washed as white as snow." Also, when Jesus was here in Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Come all ye that are broken hearted and heavy laden," he said, "I will give you rest." And then finally, in the book of Revelation at the end, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." And you know what I love about that? Jesus said, "I'm coming back again." And I love at the end of that book of Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride, which is the church, they say, "Come." Whoever's thirsty and whoever's not right and ready to meet with the Lord says, "Come." Tonight might be the very night of your salvation, so I hope and pray that you'll take heed.
Hear the hammers In the silence, as they nail my Savior's precious hands, I can see the blood as it is flowing. He died for me that I might live again. I hear him as he cries, I thirst for water. His words are few, yet he prays for those who crucify him. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sin. He bore the cross of Calvary's rugged mountain. He died for me that I might live again.
Lord, tonight, and we're thankful for this privilege of assembling together and to call upon the Lord. And I hope that you came here expecting a blessing from God. God is wanting to bless us. He's wanting to give us everything that we stand in need of tonight. If you're here and lost, He's wanting to save you from your sins. If you're wayward, if you're a backslider, God is wanting to restore you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him, He's wanting to bless us tonight. The Lord wants to bless us in a great way, and we're thankful for all of our visitors and all that's been coming and helping and assisting in these effort meeting. If you have your Bibles, turn to the 10th chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 10. I'll begin reading in verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. We have a number of encounters that people had with Christ, and many of them we can relate to. We can relate to what they experienced. We can relate to how that Christ dealt with them. I'm glad that I can read about the characters in the Bible and be able to relate to their experiences that they had with God. My experience with God corresponds with theirs. I can relate many times not only to how they felt prior to coming to know Jesus or prior to experiencing a healing, but I can relate to the prayers that they offered up. I can relate to the message that was preached last night by Brother Brian. I can relate to calling upon God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can relate to that because that's the kind of prayer I prayed when I found the Lord. And as that last song we just sung about the burden of sin, I felt the weight. I felt the weight of sin. The night I came to the Lord, there was a heavy, heavy weight of sin upon my soul, not upon my shoulders or upon my head or upon my arms. It was a heavy weight of sin that was weighing upon my soul. And I'll tell you something, when I got to Calvary, the burden rolled away. It's been gone ever since. Many of the people that were healed in the days of Jesus Christ when he was with us in the flesh, if they could just get to Jesus, they had heard about him. They had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. They had heard about the miracles that he did. Many of them already were convinced that he was the Messiah. Some of them perhaps had some doubts or concerns, and they would see the mighty miracles that he did, and they were convinced that this was the very Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And my friend, he was and he is tonight. Amen. He's not changed. His power has not changed. He still has all power in heaven and on earth. Now, I believe Jesus still heals today. You may not believe in healings, but I believe if somebody is healed, God heals them. Amen. The Bible says in the Old Testament, God spoke of himself and said, I am the God that heals. If you have a scratch on your arm that heals, God did it. Amen. It wasn't the Neosporin. It wasn't the doctor. It wasn't how you cared for yourself. The reason that thing didn't get infected and you have to cut your hand off is because God healed you. I am the God that heals. And the Lord still heals today. I still believe he heals miraculously. But most of the healings that were done by Jesus when he was here was to convince people that he was the Savior. It was to prove his Messiahship. It was to prove his Lordship and to convince people to trust in him for eternal life. Jesus came not to just heal our bodies. He came to save our souls. And the healings that were done in his day, the reason he did them was that people might believe and be saved. This particular case I can relate to because I believe it's a classic. And it's typical of how it was with us when we came to know the Lord. I want to entitle the message tonight, When the Spirit of God Brings Jesus Near You. When the Spirit of God brings Jesus near unto you. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, now we have this blind man, and he was begging. He was on the outskirts of Jericho. He heard the ruckus. There was a great multitude that was traveling with Jesus. It was Jesus, his disciples, and a great multitude of followers. When Bartimaeus heard the ruckus, when he heard the multitude and heard the disciples passing him by, he inquired and he found out that this was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing nearby. Notice how he responded. He began to cry out and to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Okay, he began to cry out to Jesus. He called him the son of David. He called out to Jesus to have mercy upon him. Of course, it already had mentioned to us and has been told to us in the scriptures that he was blind. And he was calling out to Jesus perhaps, well, of course, we know at the conclusion of this, he was calling out for healing. But he wanted Jesus to have mercy upon him. And there were those that were near him, and they began to charge him, or they began to tell him to be quiet, to hold his peace, to shut up. And he cried out the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good cheer. Rise, he calleth you. And he cast away the garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. One of the reasons I believe this is a classic illustration of how people come to know Jesus is because it describes many aspects of how Jesus comes near unto us. Now, of course, Jesus came. He lived upon the earth some 33 and a half years. He died on the cross of Calvary. He resurrected on the third day. Then he ascended to glory. But before he left, he told his disciples, like in John chapter 14 and verse 18, he says, I have to go away. I have to leave you. But he said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. Now, Jesus is with us in spirit. Through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, people still are brought near to Jesus today. We read in other places where that he would send the Holy Ghost. And we know that after he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. He gave the gift of the Holy Ghost to the church. And the Holy Spirit is with the church. And it still works today in operation and in cooperation with Jesus Christ, reproving the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Jesus even told the disciples that after his departure, if two or three would just simply gather in his name, he said, I will be in the midst. Now I believe there's those of us tonight that have gathered here in the name of Jesus Christ, and I believe the Spirit of God is with us tonight. And when God's Spirit is with his people, then Jesus is passing by you. Amen. He's near unto us tonight. He told his church to go into all the world. Now Jesus' ministry was pretty much local. It was isolated to just a small region, but he commissioned and sent the church. And he empowered the church. And that church went near and far and into different countries and cities and villages. And every village and every country and every city the church went into, people met together in the Holy Ghost, and Jesus was near unto those people. He was passing by unto them. Not only that, I believe the blindness of Bartimaeus in this passage teaches us that we all need to be illuminated. We all need light. We all need to have our spiritual sense, the sight of the soul needs to be illuminated. We need to be able to see. Actually, blindness is described throughout the Bible as the condition of all men. Amen. When Jesus arrived, we read like in the book of Matthew, where that in like 4 and 16, that the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. Jesus is that light. But the prophecy even had described the condition of Israel at the arrival of Jesus as people sitting in darkness. The Bible also says in that passage that those that were in the region of the shadows of death, light has sprung up. The Bible says that Jesus came to deliver us from darkness. You know, there are many degrees and different kinds of darkness. The greatest darkness that man faces, the greatest darkness that man experiences is spiritual darkness. My friend, if you're spiritually blind, you're in a miserable state. Now, there are many ways in which people are blind. There are some that are just blinded by sin. There are those that are just blinded by their own depravity. There are those that are blinded because of their lostness. But you can also be blinded by theology. Jesus said that there were people in his day in Mark 15 and 14. He described them as blind leaders of the blind. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. Listen, I'm trying to instruct you tonight because I've seen the light. I once was blind, but now I see. I know the way because I've been the way. I've been through that situation much like blind Bartimaeus. I've experienced that transition and that change. I experienced the spiritual darkness. Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said in verse 4, he told us that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. He went a little further and talked about how that God wants to give us light. He wants to pull us out of darkness and provide us light. So we can see how that the condition of blind Bartimaeus is the condition of all of mankind. People need the light of the world, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible says men won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus said that in John 8 and 12 that he was the light of the world. He said that if you would follow him, you would never walk in darkness. Isn't that good? And Jesus said, if you'll follow me, you'll always be able to see. You'll never be in darkness. The Apostle Paul in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, about verse 18, when the Lord spoke to him and called him to be an apostle and sent him to the Gentiles, he sent him to open the eyes, of the lost world, to turn them from darkness to light. He said that he would send him to change them from a state of sinfulness to a state of righteousness. He said to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. He went on and said that their sins, that they might receive the forgiveness of sin. Listen, when your sins are forgiven, you've seen the light. Amen. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, when you're born again, you're no longer blind. You're able to see. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and 9 that we're a chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, we're a peculiar people, and we are to show forth the praise of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have you experienced that? If you've not, then you're not one of his peculiar people. You're not one of his chosen. You're not part of the holy nation. You're not a child of God. You're not a chosen generation. You can't really give him the rightful praise until you've been saved by the grace of God. Now listen, when we get saved, it's just like coming out of darkness into light. It's just like a blind man who is suddenly able to see. The Bible describes our condition not only as blind and in darkness, but the Bible describes it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, as being in trespasses and in sin. Dead! Dead in trespasses and in sin. Blind Bartimaeus heard a multitude passing by. He had heard some things about Jesus. He had heard that Jesus healed those who were blind. He heard how that Jesus caused the lame to walk. He had heard how Jesus could even call somebody who had been dead to come back alive. He had heard those things. And many of you have heard those things. But there comes a time when the Holy Ghost brings Jesus near unto you. And you're sitting there in darkness, in the shadow of death. How are you going to respond? Well, I want to encourage you to respond like blind Bartimaeus and begin calling upon the Lord. When, look what it says there in verse 47. When he heard. Brother Brian and I have been trying this week to share with you the good news. And that's what preachers are to preach. It's good news. It's good news to hear that Jesus saves, that Jesus delivers us from the chains of death. It's good news to hear about Jesus bringing us into a state of righteousness and holiness. It's good news to know that Jesus came and gave His precious blood and resurrected on the third day that we could go to heaven. That's good news. That you can be at one point on your way to hell, but hear the good news and call upon the Lord and know in your heart that you're going to heaven. When He heard. You know, it's very important. If you're in darkness, you're in dead and trespasses and in sin, if you are spiritually blind, you need to do like blind Bartimaeus did and use what senses you have. You need to pay attention and you need to listen to the gospel. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. It's important that you hear the things that are preached from this pulpit. This is not a place to play. We're here talking about the great Jesus Christ, the one who came and left the portals of glory, the one who came and died on the cross, the one who came to save you. We preach Him. We preach Jesus and Him crucified. And that's important information that you need to hear. He's the author of this Bible. He is our advocate. He is our refuge. He's the refuge of our soul. He's the hope of our resurrection. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Ancient of Days. When you come to church, when you go to church, you ought to hear that He is the Anointed One, that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You need to hear about His power and His great glory, for Jesus Christ is coming back, and you better be ready. Amen. He's the great commander of the army of God. He's Emmanuel, the Lord with us. He's our high priest. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Prince of Life and the Prince of Peace. He is the Redeemer. And if your soul is ever set stable, it must be set on the Rock of Ages. You must be established on Jesus Christ. And that's what we try to tell people when we preach from this pulpit, that He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I hope tonight that you would heed this message and follow this example. I want us to notice something about blind Bartimaeus. He was persistent. Now, I understand a little bit about persistency when it comes to finding Jesus. I was a chronic seeker. I sought the Lord for a long time. I understand persistency. I understand this man's need. Nothing but sight would do. He had people that tried to discourage him. And today we have a lot of people in the world that try to discourage those that hear the gospel of salvation. We have many doubters out there. Oh, they'll discourage you. They'll just say the message isn't true. The salvation isn't real. They'll say there's nothing to this eternity. There's just annihilation. They're liars. They're of their father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. And they've been lying to you and they discourage people. But I'll tell you, blind Bartimaeus, though they tried to discourage him, tried to cause him to be quiet and be silent, I've met people that come to this church and their family members or their friends say, oh, why you want to go down there for? Miss Veda's son said to me yesterday, he said, I don't know what she saw in that church down there. Talking about us. I'll tell you what she saw in this church. She saw the same thing she got when she got saved. If you've ever read her testimony, when she got under conviction, realized she was lost, and she ran to the altar. Just like what we got here. She poured her heart out to God And she said the peace of God came into her soul and dried up all her tears. Amen. And she saw people getting that here, and that's why she came to this church. That's why she joined this church. My friend, if you're going to a church and they don't have salvation rites, they're not a church of the true living God. Amen. People aren't really getting saved. No doubt people will discourage you. Perhaps you don't just have friends or family members that would discourage you from seeking the Lord and calling upon the Lord. Maybe you have past experiences that discourage you. Maybe you have a false religion that you grew up in that would discourage you. Maybe there's not only doubters but scoffers. You know, there are people that scoff at what we do. They make fun of people seeking the Lord as though they're God and they can save people or help people get saved. Listen, when it comes to your salvation, nothing but God will do. Perhaps you're here tonight and it's not those doubters or scoffers. Yeah, they make fun of us. I don't care. I'll tell you what, if it takes rolling around in this floor to get saved, well, you just roll around. I'm like Brother F.W. Lambert. I'd rather roll in and then not get in at all. Amen? You do whatever it takes to get right with God. This man wanted his sight. He needed to see. He was in blindness. And he called upon the Lord. And he called upon the Lord. And he called upon the Lord. And my friend, you keep calling on the Lord till the Lord answers you. Amen. You seek till you find. You knock till the door is opened. Listen, my friend, you ask until you get it. Amen. We live in a microwave society. It's getting worse. I mean, most people that go to church, if they're not out by 12, they're all messed up. We have a few missionary Baptists that are getting that way too. Listen, when we go to the house of the Lord, we ought to go there and stay there till He gets done with us. Amen. As long as the Lord's there. Now look, if the Lord's not here, let's not drag it out. All right? But if the Lord's here, let's just serve Him. Amen. You know, because He's wanting to bless us. And there are occasions where we need to just simply wait upon the Lord. The Bible says it over and over again, hundreds of times, wait upon the Lord. So there may be some doubters or scoffers. Perhaps you ran with people that have made fun of our ways here, of bitter repentance and remorse for your sins and calling upon the Lord and experiencing in your heart and in your soul eternal life. You may be one of those who even made fun of us. That's okay, my friend. But if you realize by the Holy Spirit tonight that you're in darkness and you really see yourself blind, you'll know that only Jesus can give you your sight. Doubters, scoffers, pretenders, those are discouragements for people to find the Lord. I know there's a lot of people who have professed Christianity who have simply not lived the Christian life. I don't know, maybe some of them are really saved. Some of them aren't. Amen. Listen to me, they're pretenders. Amen. They're to simply give the Lord a bad name. That's the only purpose they serve. And they're puppets of the devil. He is pulling their strings. Okay? And you may have some of them in your life. And they discourage you from calling upon the Lord. I want you to shake off all of that. I want you to be like blind Bartimaeus and just fling that cloak or garment, whatever discouragements that you have upon your mind and upon your heart. I want you to just shake all that off. And I want you to run directly to Jesus. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we're about the only group, religious group, left that promotes going directly to God. Amen. You can't go through a priest. An earthly priest, you can't go through a man. You don't need a counselor. You don't need somebody to instruct you. You need God's Holy Spirit to bring you to the end of yourself where you can look on Him whom you pierced and believe to the saving of your soul. Jesus was discouraged. But he didn't allow that discouragement to keep him from calling upon the Lord. There may be some discouragements in the church house today. There may be some discouragements in your life concerning Christianity, concerning eternal life, concerning this gospel, concerning our religion, concerning Missionary Baptists. But Jesus is passing by. I like that aspect of Perry's testimony when he said, I didn't want Missionary Baptist. I didn't want Catholic. I didn't want Methodist. I didn't want Church of Christ. I wanted Jesus. Man, you need to get in that kind of shape. Or you want Jesus. So it's a prominent pattern for us. There's some good examples given to us. You know, when I read this, they charged him to hold his peace. You know, there wasn't anybody that was encouraging him at this juncture. Here he is calling on the Lord, Jesus, and Jesus, thou son of David. He didn't have a mom beside of him that loved the Lord and said, oh, son, let's call out louder, seek the Lord more, pray more, call upon him with all of your mind and with all of your strength. He didn't have an uncle or dad or a brother or sister or a friend that was praying for him that he might get to Jesus. He was all alone. It was just him. He was blind and Jesus was passing by and he needed to see. Some of you may have come to Jesus like that. Just stumbled into a church and heard the gospel and got saved and didn't have a mom that was saved or a dad that was saved or a brother or sister that was saved. You're the only one that got saved. You got saved first. That's okay. But most of us here have had just the opposite. Thank God. Amen. They would lay down their very lives to get us to Jesus. They lay down their lives that we might be saved. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. I hope there's nobody here that's causing any kind of discouragement towards somebody who's lost. I really hope that's not the case. They tried to hush him, but he didn't stop. The Bible says here in this passage, he cried the more. You need that kind of persistence in seeking the Lord. You need to have that kind of dedication. You need to have that kind of mentality like we sing from time to time. I would not be denied. I think one of the reasons I can relate to blind Bartimaeus so much is because in verse 49 where it said Jesus stood still, I mean, I can imagine in my mind him hearing the crowd go by and he started calling upon the Lord. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And yet he could hear the crowd moving a little farther and a little farther and a little farther and a little farther away. Jesus was moving away from him. Now, I felt that way the night I got saved. I felt like that the Lord was moving far away from me. And I had to cry out the more. And Jesus is passing by us in this service. By the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is bringing him near unto you. And I hope by the conclusion of this service that you'll be able to leave this place saved by the grace of God. I want to say to those of you that are lost and you've sought the Lord, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Cry the more. Continue seeking Him. There are times when it seems that the Lord is close to us when we're praying prior to being saved. And there's times that He seems that He's distant from us. Whatever the case is, cry the more. Now, I believe that sometimes He waits for us so that our prayers would be sincere and genuine. Sometimes we cry out to the Lord and our prayers are not sincere and genuine. Sometimes sinners pray and they call upon the Lord and they seek the Lord and they haven't repented. And the Lord is waiting for you to repent. I mean, to really repent. To turn from your life. Sometimes people come and they pray and they seek the Lord and they call for a while and perhaps their conscience gets appeased or they get to feeling a little better and then they get up and they think, well, I'll have another opportunity the next night. Blind Bartimaeus gives you a good example. He realized this is the last time Jesus would ever be in Jericho. He was fading in the distance. This was his last chance to be saved. You need to feel that way tonight. Amen. This may be your last opportunity. This may be our last service together. See, when the Spirit of God brings Jesus near unto you, you need to call out upon Him. You need to pray. You need to come to the altar. You need to seek the Lord. You need to plead with Him and ask Him to have mercy upon your soul. You need to leap over every discouragement that has kept you from coming to Him so far. Notice, when Jesus stopped, stood still, He commanded him to come. Bring him to me. And so people went to blind Bartimaeus, said unto him, be of good cheer. Arise, he calleth thee. Now he not only got discouragement, but he also had some encouragement. I fear there are a lot of people that are applying the balm of Gilead that is not filled with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And they're encouraging people about salvation before they really get saved. Listen, nobody can tell you that you're born again. There's a lot of good people that would encourage, say, oh, you're all right. You know, don't worry. He calleth you. It's going to be okay. Listen, it's not okay until God speaks peace to your soul. Amen. Amen. They said, it's okay. He calleth you. It's all right. But notice what he does. And this, verse 50. He cast away his garment. Now think about that. Here he is. There's a large crowd out there somewhere. He's sitting on the side of the road. There were probably other beggars with him that could see. And this is probably his only possession he had. And do you know what he did with it? He threw it down. Now, he had faith. I mean, he threw it out. He turned away from everything in this life and he ran to Jesus. And that's what you need to do. Whatever it is in your life that's keeping you from Christ, if it's religion, if it's sin, if it's family, if it's pretenders, if it's discouragers, if it's scoffers, if it's doubters, whatever it is, fling it from you and run to Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, the Holy Spirit is here. And he's bringing Jesus near unto you. And you're sitting there blind and in darkness and you need your sight. And he's moving a little farther. And I'll tell you something, the more you reject the gospel, he'll get farther away from you. You turn away his voice and you harden your heart. And he'll get farther and farther down the road. Listen, my friend, you need to break away from those things that keep you shackled to your seat. You need to break away from those things that keep you in sin and in darkness and blind. You need to lay those things aside and you need to run to Jesus tonight. Run to him with all of your heart. I'll tell you how I feel about it. You really don't have spiritual comfort until you get comfort from Jesus. You don't have peace until you get it from the Prince of Peace. You don't have your sins atoned for until He speaks deep inside of your soul, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And He does. Amen. Deep inside the crevices of your soul, He will speak to you and let you know that you've been cleansed and forgiven of your sins. You have no real joy and forgiveness until you get to Jesus. You have no salvation till you have the salvation that Jesus gives. I want to encourage you as we get a song, don't go halfway. Go all the way. Imagine tonight, none of us here, but imagine yourself sitting on the outskirts of Jericho. Now listen, when he ran to Jesus, he ran there to be with him and to serve him the rest of his life. He stayed with him. He followed him. He committed himself. God knows your heart. And if you come with some reservation, you will not be saved. If you don't come not only to embrace him as Savior, but embrace him as Lord of your life, you'll go away from here lost. God knows the intent and the thoughts of your heart. He knows whether or not you're sincere. He knows whether or not you genuinely are wanting to be saved. Go all the way. Whatever it is, fling it off. He will come and live in your heart. Come get the eyes of blind Barnabas. Leave here with sight, spiritual sight. Know him in your heart and your life tonight. Let's sing.